So it was a couple weeks ago, my family and I, we were going to leave the house for an extended period of time, several hours. We have a dog named Cooper, and so we were like, man, we've got to let Cooper out, let him be outside for as long as possible, because we're not going to be home for a while. So nice weather, I thought I was doing something helpful, left the back door open so he could just kind of come and go for the couple hours before we needed to go, and then we were going to bring him back inside. Not a problem, thought it was a good idea. I go upstairs to start getting things ready, and then I hear one of my kids from downstairs scream, "Dad, there's a bird in the house!" I'm like, no, that's not possible. So I go down the stairs, and sure enough, there is a bird flapping and flying around downstairs. And you could just imagine, Becky and I, my wife and I, have three kids and the dog. You could imagine the chaos that then ensued. One of my kids was screaming and crying because they wanted to make sure the little bird was going to be okay. Another one of my kids thought this whole scene was hilarious and was laughing. Another one of my kids was trying to console the child that was crying about the bird. And then my wife walks in. She's a kindergarten teacher. She comes in, doesn't face her at all. That just tells you what her day was probably like. She's just like, whatever. I've seen other things like this as well. So, and then here I am, out in the garage, trying to find this long pole, duct taping a net on it to try to get this bird out of our house. That's what that day looked like. Now, I will say, before we move on, the bird's fine, I'm assuming, right? We got the bird out. Bird's totally fine. For some of you are really concerned about the bird. The bird got out of the house. All was good. I tell you that, though, because I want you to pay attention to something happened, and then we all responded. Something happened. A bird got in the house. And we all responded. We responded differently, but we all responded to what had happened. That's so much of our lives. As we walk through our lives every day, we are constantly responding to things that happen. We respond to situations and circumstances. We respond to people. We respond to good news. We respond to bad news. We are constantly responding to things that happen. The Christmas season is a time where we intentionally remember something that happened those many, many Christmases ago. We remember that something happened that changed all of eternity in the course of history. That something happened, which means there needs to be a response. Something happened, and we respond. We might respond differently, but we all respond to what happened. So as we go through our study this morning, I want you to be asking yourself that question in your heart. Would you begin to ask yourself that question? What is my response to the good news of Jesus? What is your response to the good news when Jesus was born? That's the question we want to begin to wrestle with. What is my response? What is your response to the good news of Jesus? We've been studying through the last several weeks. We've been studying through different parts of the Christmas story. And we see responses with every single person in the Christmas story. It started with Zachariah and his wife Elizabeth. Zachariah was silent for many, many months. And then the first words out of his mouth, his response to what God was doing was words of praise, words that were full of joy. Joseph, when he got the news about Jesus, Joseph's response was not words. Joseph's response was actions of obedience and trust. Mary, her response was a servant's heart. Here I am, Lord, send me, use me. I am the Lord's servant. The wise men, when they heard the news of Jesus, they sought after him over a long journey. They gave gifts to him because he was their king. And then the shepherds is what we're going to study today. We will see the response, not just in the shepherds, but for us. What is our response to the good news of Jesus? If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. If not, we'll have them up on the screen. And if you don't have a Bible, we have a stack of Bibles out in the lobby. Please, that is our gift to you. We want to make sure that you've got a Bible that you can bring with you to church, but use during the week as well. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, this is the story of the shepherds. When they hear the good news, look for what happened, and then look for their response. How did they respond to the good news of Jesus? Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them. If you're taking notes, those two words are worth writing down or underlining in your Bible. Among them. The angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. The reason those two words, among them, are so important is because we tend to think of God as a distant God. We tend to have this picture of God is way up there and we are way down here. God's over there and we are over here. And what scripture is showing us is that God is here. In fact, he is sending, in the passage, he's sending his one and only son, Jesus. Emmanuel is what he will be called, which means God is with us. And even when God through the angel showed up, he didn't show up distant from these shepherds. He showed up with them. He showed up among them. Now, I don't know where each of you are at spiritually speaking, like where you are at with Jesus, where you are at in your faith. But please hear this. God is closer than you think. He is here. He is with you. And just like he did with the shepherds, he will meet you where you are. Where were the shepherds? They were out in the fields at night doing their jobs as shepherds. And God showed up. He met them where they were, in their environment, at their workplace pretty much, and showed up among them and met them where they are. He continues to do that for us as well. He meets us wherever we are. Their first response makes sense. We're told they were terrified, of course. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you, here's the announcement, good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. That's the good news. This announcement, this something that has happened, the good news that the Savior, the Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that we have been waiting for has finally come, that Jesus has come to live with us, to be among us, to teach us to live the perfect life that none of us could ever live, to die a death that was intended for us, for the wages of sin is death. But for him, dying on the cross and raising 3 days later defeated both sin and death, which gives us the hope of eternal life. That's the good news. The good news that will bring great joy and notice to all people. I love that this announcement was made to shepherds in the fields, not the kings in a palace, not the wealthy, not the powerful, not the influential, but the shepherds at night in the fields. He meets us where we are, and then he sent Jesus for us all. Verse 13, we get the response of this announcement first by the angels. Suddenly, the angel is joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. So the angels responded to the good news by worshiping in song and in words. Then in verse 15, now we get the response of the shepherds. There's several, so we're going to go through these one by one. Notice the response of the shepherds when they heard the good news about Jesus. Verse 15, here's the first one. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. I always love this part. Let's go see this thing that has happened. There is not a female in the room that would have said, let's go see this thing in regards to a newborn baby. Not gonna happen. The guys in the room, like, what's the problem with that, right? I just love the authenticity of the shepherds. I don't really know what's going on, but let's just go see this thing that has happened. Before they go to Jesus, though, notice what they did. Before they went to see Jesus, they decided to go see Jesus. There was a decision before there was any action. They decided. In fact, the words here were, let's go. They decided to go to Jesus. The reason that's so important is because oftentimes we get ahead of ourselves in our faith. And here the shepherds, they didn't know much at this point. They didn't know what this thing was all about. They didn't know exactly what this meant. They were not biblical scholars. They were not versed well in the Old Testament prophecies and the scriptures. They might have known some, but they didn't know a lot. So they didn't have all the answers. They didn't have the full picture. They didn't have full understanding, yet they still decided to go to Jesus. Why? Why would they have decided to go? Because they believed. They heard this announcement from an angel. They decided to go see Jesus because they believed what the angel said. They believed this good news was true. They believed that there really was Messiah born. They really believed that Jesus is exactly who he said he was. They believed. Their belief, as we're going to see, is going to move them to action, but the belief started first, before they went anywhere. They decided to go see Jesus, and they believed. Even with all the unknowns, they believed, and then we see in verse 16, then they went. They hurried, if you're underlining in your Bible, you can underline, they hurried. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Now we see the action. Actions always follow beliefs. What we believe, we then begin to act on. They believed the good news. They believed this good news was true, and they believed this good news was for them, not just for all people. They are part of the all people. So they believed the good news, so now they want to go see Jesus for themselves. They hurried. That word hurried shows us their attitude or their posture in going to see Jesus. Keep in mind, the shepherds were in the middle of their jobs at night, in the fields at night. It would have made total sense if the angel shows up, good news, great joy for all people, here's how you find them. It would have made total sense if the shepherd says, that's awesome, I can't wait tomorrow. I can't wait to go and meet Jesus, but I'll need to do it afterwards. Let's wait until it's morning. Let's wait until we finish our shift as a shepherd, and then we can go and see Jesus. But right now, it's just not a really good time. I'm really busy. I got a lot of things going on. So I want to, but later. Hurried shows us that they did not wait. They did not delay. They did not think about it. They did not discuss it, talk about it, or debate it. They heard the good news of Jesus. They believed the good news of Jesus. And then they hurried to Jesus. They decided, believed, and then they went. You can tell that there was a priority there, right? Prior to the good news of Jesus, their priority would have been taking care of the sheep. In fact, scripture tells us they were guarding their sheep. They get the good news of Jesus and like, forget the sheep, let's go see Jesus. They left everything behind to go and see Jesus. Their priorities changed. Verse 17, here's the third response we see from the shepherds. After, there's your key word there if you're underlining, after seeing him, after seeing Jesus, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. They were amazed. They were in awe. Remember that. We're going to come back to it at the very end. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. So they believed in the good news. They went to go and see Jesus. They put everything else behind them, and they hurried to go and see Jesus, to be where Jesus was. And then after meeting Jesus and after seeing Jesus, after experiencing the truth of what the angels were talking about, after seeing Jesus and experiencing him, they had to tell somebody. They couldn't help it. There was something inside of them that could not be contained. They had to share this story with other people. Scripture tells us they told everyone. Everyone that would listen, they wanted to tell, here's what happened. Here's what the angels told us. Here's the good news. Here's how we experienced Jesus. They couldn't help but tell everyone. You see, at this point, it wasn't just about the shepherds and their own personal story. It was about the shepherds and their story and then helping everyone else know this same good news that brings great joy to all people. They wanted everyone to know. The last response we see in verse 20. The shepherds went back to their flocks. Everybody say, went back with me. Say it out loud. Went back. They went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. They went back. They left the manger and went back to their fields, to their sheep, to their jobs, to their families, probably to the same problems they had earlier and the same tensions and the same difficulties and the same financial situation. They went back to the same life. In fact, we could say their life really didn't change much. Job didn't change, situation didn't change, the fields didn't. Like, there's a lot of things that did not change for the shepherds. However, they went back changed. So sure, the aspects of their life had not changed, but they personally had changed. Their hearts have changed. Their story had changed. They changed, and they went back glorifying and praising God. They continued to worship Jesus even after they had left the manger. It wasn't just a one-time thing for the shepherds. They went back to their life changed. They went back to their life worshiping. They went back to their life still beholding Jesus, even though they had already left the manger. They went back to their normal, everyday lives, but with a different perspective, a different heart, a changed heart, where they were worshiping God in their lives and with their lives. So that's the response of the shepherds. They heard about the good news of Jesus. Something happened. How did they respond? They believed the good news. They believed what the angels had said. They wanted to be where Jesus was, so they hurried. They reprioritized. They left things behind so they could hurry to be with Jesus. Then based on what they saw after seeing Jesus, they couldn't help but tell this story to everyone that would listen. And even though they left the manger and went back home, back to their jobs, back to their families, they continued to worship and behold Jesus. That's how they responded. So let's go back to our original question we asked at the beginning. How do we respond to the good news of Jesus? Something happened. We are all here today because we recognize something happened those many Christmases ago. That Jesus, the Messiah, our Savior, was born. Something happened. So then what is our response to the good news of Jesus? What I want us to do is we're going to take the shepherd's story and we are going to overlay our lives on top of their story. The way that they responded, I think, teaches us a lot about how we still today, these many years later, how we still respond to the good news of Jesus. Just like the shepherds, before they did anything, they made a decision to believe. They heard the good news from the angel. They decided, we believe this. We believe in the Savior. We believe in this good news that will bring great joy to all people. We believe in Jesus. Like the shepherds, we don't have all the answers. We still have questions. We still are trying to figure things out. We don't have the full picture. We don't know it all, but we believe. We believe in the good news. We believe in Jesus as our Savior. We believe that it's not just for everybody else, but it's also for us. It's also for me. We believe in Jesus. John 3:16, a pretty familiar passage to many of you. John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes, there's our key word, believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This is for everyone. And we believe. We don't clean up our life first. We don't get our act together first. We don't understand it all first. We first believe. How do we respond to the good news of Jesus? We first believe. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul's writing to the early church of Ephesus, and he also wants to highlight the importance and the first step of believing. Here's how you respond to Jesus. He said, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. It's not, look at all the good things, so therefore I deserve grace. No, grace is a free gift of God when we believe. Do you believe? Do you believe in the good news of Jesus that brings great joy for all people? Do you believe that this is good news even for you? We first believe. Like the shepherds, they believed and made that decision to believe in Jesus and believe in the good news. And then actions followed belief. What is our response? Like the shepherds, we follow Jesus. We believe in him, and then we follow him. We believe in him as our Savior, and we follow him as our King and as our Lord. We follow him to become like him, to think like him, to act like him, to speak like him, to treat others like him, to love like him, to serve like him, to sacrifice like him, to humble ourselves like him. We try to become more and more like Jesus. As we follow him, our actions follow beliefs. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said this, as his ministry was growing, as he continued to tell people who he is as Lord and Savior and Messiah that has come to save us from our sins, he said this to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Just like the shepherds had to leave things behind in order to hurry to Jesus, Jesus gives us the same call today to give up our own ways or to give up our own desires and to follow him and to do so daily. We reprioritize our lives. We place Jesus at the very center of our lives. And now our world revolves around him. Not everybody else and him revolve around us. So we begin to change how we live, how we act, how we think, in order to become more and more like Jesus. Then we lead others to Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We follow Jesus and take steps to be closer to him and to become more and more like him. And then we've experienced the love and grace of Jesus. We've experienced the transformation of Jesus. We've been given this new life because of the grace of Jesus. And so now we can't help but tell other people about Jesus, just like the shepherds. We lead others to Jesus. Remember, the shepherds were not Bible scholars. They did not have a Bible degree. The shepherds did not have experience in telling stories. They were not teachers or leaders or public speakers. They were shepherds who met Jesus. They were shepherds who were changed by Jesus. They were shepherds that had a story to tell about Jesus. A story that just wasn't to tell, but a story that needed to be told. A story they couldn't help but telling. The same is true for us. We have a story to tell. And you might be thinking, like, man, I don't have a great story. You hear other people's stories and you're like, man, now like that's an impactful story. That's a real meaningful story. That is an inspiring story. Hear me. When we place our faith in Jesus, when we believe in him, we receive, as Paul said in Ephesians 2, we receive the free gift of salvation. Do you know what that means? That means that because of his grace and his love, he saves us, which means we move from death to life. That is a significant story to tell. That every single one of us that believes in him and has placed our faith in him, he has moved us from death to life. That is a story worth telling. A story that needs to be told. We lead other people to Jesus. We lead others to him. We believe in him, we follow him, and then we lead others to him. In Romans chapter 10, Paul is explaining this idea. And notice how he walks through a progression here. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In other words, we believe first. We believe in him and we are saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Do you see where he's going with this? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news. I love that last part. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. The good news brings great joy to all people. We are sent. We are a people who are sent. We are sent to lead people to Jesus. We are sent to tell our story of knowing Jesus and coming to know Jesus. We are sent to serve, sent to love. Jesus sent to us, gave us the Great Commission to go and tell everyone about him, to teach them all that Jesus had taught us, to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are sent. We are a people that are sent. So we believe in Jesus. We follow Jesus. We lead others to Jesus. And then the last response of the shepherds, remember, they went back. They went back to their lives, back to the fields, back to the sheep, back to their families. But this time they went back different. They went back worshiping and praising God. They went back still beholding Jesus. So for us, what's our response? We worship Jesus every day. So often we can think of worshiping Jesus as a specific time at a specific place. Like on a Christmas Eve service, we show up, we worship, we open God's word, and then we move on to the rest of our lives. We show up on a Sunday morning to worship together, and then we go home and go through the rest of our lives. That's not the picture we see in Scripture. The picture we see in Scripture is that we give Jesus all of our lives. We surrender everything to him, which means our lives, the lives that we live, are an act of worship to him. We behold him, not just on a Sunday and not just at a certain season, but we behold him and we worship him every day as we go back to our lives, back to our jobs, back to our families and in our communities. We worship him every day of our lives. Romans chapter 12 speaks to this idea. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be, two key words here, we're gonna talk about them. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Notice how Paul here talks about worshiping Jesus, beholding him, by offering our bodies, our entire lives, ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice. Living means that we are a living, breathing, walking act of surrender and act of worship. So everything we do in our lives can be an act of worship of Jesus. It's living and it's holy. Holy means set apart, different, which is what Paul explains in the latter part of Romans chapter 12, verse 2 we just read. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. In other words, he transforms us. He changes how we live and how we think so that every day of our lives, how we live is now an act of worship. So something happened many, many, many Christmases ago. As the angel put it, good news of great joy for all people. The Messiah, yes, the Savior, the Lord, Jesus has been born. Something happened. How do we respond? We respond by believing in him. Before there's any action, before we do anything, before we even figure it all out and have all the answers, we believe in him and believe in the good news. Then we follow him, allow him to direct our lives. Wherever he goes, we go. Whatever he tells us, we say yes. We follow him to become more and more like him and to trust him more and more. And then as we experience this life change, this transformation that the Holy Spirit does from the inside out, we can't help but tell this story. We say, here I am, send me. I am your servant. However you want to use me for your kingdom. My answer is yes. We are a people that are sent. And every day of our lives is an act of worship. We don't wait for Sunday. We don't wait for Christmas. Every day we have on this earth is an act of worship towards him. We continue to behold him. So what's your response? That's what we've been asking, right? What is your response to the good news of Jesus? Now we could stop right there, pray, and jump to the candlelight. I know, it's the most exciting part of the day. I get it. But here's what's gonna happen. I recognize this because I'm in the same boat. There's a lot of things that you have to do this week and Christmas time, and I'm so thankful you gave up time to be here. But man, as soon as you walk out these doors, it's back running to this and this and get these things done before everything else. So we've intentionally created a little bit of space to pause, to stop, and to slow down. Instead of me encouraging you, hey, sometime this week on your own, reflect on what your response to the Lord is. Instead of waiting, let's do it here. Why wait? Let's do it now. So I'm going to encourage you to close your eyes and bow your head. There's nothing special or significant about that other than it just puts distractions away. So that way this moment can be between you and the Lord and not you and the person around you. I'm going to walk through the four responses we just talked through based on the shepherds. Believing, following, leading others, and then worshiping every day. I'm going to walk us through those four responses. And I would love and encourage you and invite you, when I get to one of the responses that kind of feels like, man, this is where I'm at, I'd love for you just to raise your hand, just so I can be praying specifically over you as your pastor. So for some of you in the room, it really is a very first step of believing. And no, you don't have all the answers. And yes, you have a lot of questions. And no, you don't need to clean your life up first. Like the shepherds, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that the good news of Jesus is good news for you? If that's where you're at in your spiritual walk and in your faith, would you just raise your hand so I can pray over you specifically? You would say, my next step and my response is just believing. Excellent. Let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you so much for coming to be with us. And thank you for giving us the free gift of grace. That it's not something we earn, it's not something that we deserve or work towards or work for. But when we believe in you, you freely give us your grace and the gift of salvation. We believe in you. We trust in you and in you alone. For some of you, your response to the good news of Jesus is following him. You believe in him, but your priorities might start to feel a little out of sync. For you, following Jesus means I'm reprioritizing my life. I want to become more like him. I'm taking steps to trust him more, to allow him to change my life and to be the leader of my life. You believe he's your savior, but your response is trusting him and following him as your king and as your Lord. If that's where you're at, if your response is to follow Jesus, would you raise your hand? Let me pray over you. Great, thank you. Jesus, we believe in you and we love you. Now, like the shepherds, we want to hurry after you, hurry to you, to follow you, to become more like you, to take steps to become closer to you. Holy Spirit, would you remind us of the true priorities of our life? You. Would you reveal to us what needs to change in our lives as we take steps away from some things and towards you? Continue to lead us and we will follow you. For some of you, your next step or your response is to lead other people to Jesus. You love Jesus, you believe in him, you're following him to become more and more like him. Now it's send me. Now it's God, would you use me to spread the good news that brings great joy to all people? If that's where you're at in your faith, ready to say, Lord, here I am, send me, use me to lead other people to you. Would you raise your hand so I can pray over you? Wonderful. Jesus, you have given us the great commission to go. You have sent us to go and tell not just our story, but the story, the greatest news ever told that brings great joy to all people. Would you give us the courage and the boldness to speak truth in love and gentleness? Would you give us the words to share as we tell our story of meeting you and knowing you? Would you give us the opportunities to tell and to share our story with those around us? Give us opportunities to serve and love others as we are now the messengers, spreading the good news that brings great joy to all people. Here we are, send us. And lastly, maybe your next step, your response, is to worship Jesus every day. Maybe typically you would just look to a moment like this to worship him. But may we, like the shepherds, go back into our lives, beholding him and worshiping him with everything we are and everything we have, where our lives are now an act of worship every day as a living and holy sacrifice to the Lord. If that's where you're at, ready to live a life for him every day, would you raise your hand and let me pray over you? Excellent, thank you. Jesus, we come before you and we offer everything we are to you. We surrender our lives to you as a living and holy sacrifice where we behold you beyond the manger. We worship you outside of a building like this and a service like this. We worship you with our lives, with everything we are and everything we have. We give to you as we behold you, our Savior, our Lord, our King of Kings, and our Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name.